Welcome to Highway to Health. I'm Jeremy Quinby. This is episode 120 of the podcast. If you're new to the show, I want to welcome you. Highway to Health is your place for trusted health guidance and support. Whether you're looking to improve your health or just seeking ways to stay well, we're here for you. This growing community is on a mission to improve our state of being and experience together on the planet. And if you love the resource you get here at Highway to Health, consider becoming a health amplifier today. While this project is a labor of love, it requires funding to continue to build and stay true to our mission. You may have noticed we have no annoying ads and are not bound by corporate interests, but that means we do need your support, which you can provide for the price of a cup of coffee once a month by going to patreon.com/highwaytohealth. Your donation is making this quality resource available not only to you, but to anyone in need. So this conversation you're about to hear with Reed Davis is an important one for just about everyone. Reed worked in environmental law until his late 40s, and then he decided to focus on individual health and well-being. And coming from a career focused on toxins and pollutants plaguing our environment, he came to the health sciences with a unique perspective on why so many people are sick with conditions that lack a clinical diagnosis and treatment protocol within our standard model of insurance-based care. The focus of his work has been as an investigator through testing using a functional medicine model, simple tests that anyone can do at home and send to his lab. For those of you who have struggled with long-term conditions or lack a diagnosis, or for anyone who's simply looking to bolster their own immune function and improve their energy and overall sense of well-being, this is an important and in many ways a relatively simple concept. Reed shares what he's learned from his work and investigations into improving epigenetic signaling and reminds us of a number of lifestyle improvements that cost us little or nothing to start on today. A lot of inspiration to be gathered from this one. Here's my conversation with Reed Davis. So tell me about your career path, because you kind of started, you know, as a health paralegal or something. Is that right?
I was actually in environmental law as a paralegal.
Okay.
Yeah, the story goes, you know, saving the planet type of guy. I was very motivated to do good in the world, and I've always loved nature and being outside. And I hunted and fished as a kid, and you know, that was all about being taken care of. Fish and animals, you know, making sure we're practicing good conservation. And so that's just always been something I love. But then around the end of the century, you know, I was in my late 40s, actually. I'm almost 70 now. I started wondering about people. Well, yeah, animals, that's great. And what about us, though? Including me. Like, I didn't want anything from the environment, what we now call the epigenome, sneaking up on me, you know. Like, I thought I would just study people and health. Yeah. So I changed gears a little bit. I went to work in a wellness center where the owner was just starting a nutrition diplomat program for herself. And I really went there to run the place. I was hired as an administrator. I already had a strong business background and things. And again, environmental, you know, wanting to do some good in the world. Anyway, she said I could go to this nutrition program with her and work on her patients in between my classes, which is an amazing opportunity. And the price of admission was just doing her homework on top of my own.
Gotcha.
So that was a great start. And I took that Jeff Rockwell course in myofascial release. I became a personal trainer. And I have a lot of other certifications. So in the 10 years I worked at that clinic, I got a lot of additional training, but mostly experience running labs. I just got lucky, and I just started running labs on people. And that was the trick for me. I ran thousands of labs on thousands of people. Yeah. It's kind of my claim to fame. And after almost 10 years of that, I started a course in lab work and natural protocols, absolutely drug-free. No medication, just lifestyle, you know, directives for people who were suffering, who could not find relief any other way.
Yeah.
I mean, they were at the end of the ropes. Most of them been to 6, 8, 10 different practitioners. I thought they were getting ripped off.
Yeah.
And decided I just wanted to be the last guy they had to see.
Yeah, no, I get it. I feel the same way in my practice. And I have a similar, so I went through, you know, the personal training route after becoming a you know, manual therapist. I do kind of massage trigger point work, craniosacral therapy, and, you know, a blend of a lot of other things that I've kind of learned over the years. And, but my background is also like, I was pre-law English major and so language for me is a big part of working with people too. I feel like that's one of the things that I see kind of lacking in the way that we do, you know, dialogue and even kind of like setting out a little, you know, verbal roadmap of like, okay, these are the things that I see going on, or, you know, and another big part of what I do is really sort of collaborative work. I'm kind of at the center of a lot of different modalities because I work with newborns. And I pretty much all ages because of that, and also work, you know, in coordination with mental health. I do a lot of work with functional medicine and you know, orthopedics and other kinds of, you know, medical care as well, because I'm kind of dealing with a lot of neuro issues. So I'm in this dialogue that I know that you're working, you know, within for a long time. And I'm curious to know if it was there something personally health-wise that brought you into the work a little bit more, or was it just your desire to help?
You know, funny thing is I never been to a doctor before. I just, maybe for some sports injuries, a couple motorcycle spills, and dental work. But
yeah,
when I first started in this field, when I switched from environmental law and conservation to working with people, I didn't have a health problem. But I didn't want anything sneaking up on me either. You know, again, I was in my late 40s and I noticed people were dying and never really had a symptom before. You know, you just don't know. And having studied the environment so well, I knew there was a lot of poison and toxin and things that people just weren't aware of. You know, seeing dead fish and pretty much dead bodies of water and damage to trees and, you know, the bees are disappearing and, and I just thought, what about people? So I didn't have a personal challenge. And I've tried to maintain really good health. I think to do this business, you kind of have to walk the talk. Like I still get body work done and have a Pilates instructor comes over twice a week. And, you know, I'm a fit guy. I play hard. I just got off a week sailing trip. And sailing, believe it or not, is more work than you know.
Oh, I've done it. I know. It's intense work.
Yeah, and you know, riding my motorcycle again. I'm almost 70, and I just want to stay really fit. And so, you know, again, sort of claim to fame was that I got lucky and was able to run this lab work: saliva testing, urine testing, blood testing, stool testing, things that regular doctors don't do. They're not looking in these areas. And I found healing opportunities. I was able to identify these healing opportunities. So no, I didn't have a health problem, but I'm sure glad I know what I know now.
Yeah.
As I am hitting my almost senior years.
So I'm guessing that when people come to you at this point, right, they're probably coming to you with a challenge, oftentimes having seen a number of different people, right? Both people in the traditional medical system and people in other healing arts. So is there like a place that you recommend people start as far as testing and doing this investigation when they first come to see you?
Yeah, that's truly my modality now, is just to run the tests, you know, white guess. But you're right. People are coming with every kind of ailment and problem, you know, from tired and fatigued and brain fog and cloudy thinking, you know, to like they're overweight and they got bad skin and no energy, you know. So there's everything in between that. And some people actually do have real medical problems. Mm-hmm. But I just don't play in that sandbox. We're not medical. We're looking for what's really wrong. You know, let's go upstream. And you're right, too, that everyone walking in the door in those early days, what inspired me to figure things out was that they'd all seen, again, 6, 8, 10 different practitioners, spent thousands of dollars. And we're even told by many of these other practitioners, nothing's wrong with you. You know, your blood work looks normal.
Right.
And, of course, we knew and the person knew, well, there has to be something wrong. Yeah. You know, so that was my job, was to go find it, investigate, run the labs. So your question was, you know, what's the first thing? We just take on all comers, run our five labs. Again, we're looking for this constellation of healing opportunities, and then applying the general principles of healing to every area. So we're not diagnosing and treating like a physician.
Right.
We've had enough of that crap.
Yeah.
What good's another label on some other thing going to do for you? Nothing. We're going to, you know, in a sense, self-treat. In person, we're going to teach people to self-treat.
Right.
Every cell, tissue, organ, system in their body. The entire organism just improves. And you'd be amazed how much good that does in the world. Matter of fact, it outperforms standard medicine.
A lot of times. And because what we're really dealing with, and I look at this from my point of view as well, and I sort of deal with things in a slightly different way, because I'm a lot of times what I'm trying to help people with is kind of an autonomic balance. I mean, I find so many people who come into my, you know, for my kind of care have basically been sort of patterned into a fight or flight response. It could be because of trauma or an injury or, you know, big changes in their lives, a loss of a parent, all these different things can kind of set off systems, and then they become sort of patterned that way. So we have, you know, a million different things that can kind of get off track, digestion, sleep, and, you know, all those kinds of things are usually signs that something's going on with this kind of getting stuck in this fight or flight response. But the healing aspect of what needs to go on in there, you know, a stress system doesn't heal. So, you know, you have to work on how to manage that, but you can't tell someone to stop being stressed. I mean, it's just, it happens from environmental factors. It happens internally, and it happens from, you know, our lifestyle and our relationships and stuff. So when it comes to testing, when you're trying to work on this stuff, what are those tests that, and what are you looking for from your perspective?
Well, one thing you mentioned is the autonomic nervous system and the parasympathetic to sympathetic balance. Mm-hmm. That's really, really important.
Yeah.
And so I actually have an acronym I'll just give you.
Yeah.
We look at HIDDEN, that's hormones. Hormones got to be balanced.
Yeah.
Not just your sex hormones, but your catabolic, anabolic hormones. So that's H. The I stands for the immune system. Sometimes they're overactive, sometimes underactive. The first D is digestion. So we actually measure whether you are breaking down food and assimilating it properly.
Yeah.
Some people eat great diets, but they're really not digesting and absorbing, as you well know.
Yeah.
So HIDD in our hidden acronym, the second D is detoxification. So we're looking to see, is your liver working? Is it really, you know, processing everything properly and then excreting the way it should go? So detoxification is really important. And that would include other organs, of course, but HIDD, the E is energy production.
Okay.
So you want to make sure that you're fueling your cells properly so that they're able to produce energy at the right rate, quality, quantity. So that's really critical, energy production. And then the last one is that N, nervous system balance.
Yeah.
So we look at that. Autonomic dominance. People are in fight flight, like you said, and they need to strengthen the parasympathetic. And we find that there's ways to do that, diet and breathing and meditation and things, rest and quiet and just not being overstimulated in many ways.
Yeah.
You mentioned, we could spend a whole hour on that, you know, just, man, the amount of trauma people have had, it's mental, emotional, as you mentioned, like you said, losing a parent or something. Yeah, mental, emotional stress is huge.
Yeah.
And when you say the word stress, that's what people think about. Oh, yeah, I hate my job. My kids are a little rotten.
right.
You know, or but also that trauma, the fact that we, you know, we have well used bodies. I know mine is, man, the number of sports injuries I've had from
me too.
Everything I've done and you know, and it could even be from birth. Well, I was really impressed when you said you work with infants because sometimes just being born is stressful.
It's one of the most challenging things we go through.
Yeah. So you could come out of sorts, you know, out of whack. So there's that mental, emotional stuff we all deal with every day. And then the other that I studied so well in the environmental days was the environmental toxins and electromagnetic frequencies and all the crap they put in our food and in our air and water and things. So there's environmental stress, what I call the epigenome. That could include your accidents and injuries and owies, and I still have a few left over, pain and things like that I have to work on. And then the mental, emotional, and it's a lot to handle. Autonomic nervous system is so you're engaging that with trying to get out of fight flight.
Right.
So that's a critical area. We look at all of it because, you never know what someone's got going on.
And so you mentioned earlier there were like five tests that you do with just about everybody who comes in. Can you explain what those tests are?
Yeah, absolutely. So we do a stress and hormone panel.
Okay.
Which includes the catabolic, anabolic balance and your sex hormones. And oh, by the way, from the same saliva samples, take four samples throughout the day.
Okay.
Through the same samples, you can get melatonin, which is a good indicator of dysfunction or good function, and then also secretory IgA, which is an immune marker. So from one test, we start getting insights to things being out of balance, overactive, underactive, and so on. The finger points in certain directions. Where we know that leads us to is my next test, which is it's a dried urine test. We look at digestion, we look at liver function, we look at oxidative stress.
Okay,
and these are opportunities. They're not medical diagnoses.
Right.
That's why they're missed. They're part of an anti-aging and just being really healthy and really vibrant investigation. So you got all that, the saliva test of the catabolic, anabolic, sex hormones, immune system, peek into your melatonin. You got this dried urine test. These are all done easily at home. They're not expensive. Anyone can do them from anywhere, just about. And so we look at that digestion and liver function, oxidative stress. We also run a finger stick test, again, with the saliva test and then a urine test. And now the finger stick test, these are all done at home. You prick your finger, you squeeze out some blood onto a blotter, you send it, it dries, you send it into the lab. From that, we're getting zonulin, which is a marker for leaky gut, just almost equals leaky gut if it's elevated. But two more important markers are histamine and diamine oxidase. So, and the ratio between those tells us a lot more about how the gut's actually functioning. You heard about gut function, and everyone says everything begins in the gut. I don't believe that, but I do believe it circles around in the gut often enough.
Yeah.
The people were thinking. So that's just three tests right there. Now we have a ton of information about things you can do to improve yourself without drugs, without surgery, just on your own. Hey, here's what's actually broken or needs improvement. And by the way, the dysfunction from those things all combined equals an awful lot of symptoms. It equals an awful lot of feeling lousy, like all the time, and being overweight and itchy and, achy and angry, or out of sorts. And it just leads to so many symptoms. Now, the two other tests that we add, but because that right there is a mouthful. I mean, I could pretty much tell you what's going on with the person.
Right.
But because, if someone engages us, we say, look, there's a couple other tests you should add on here. And one is the stool test for pathogens, and it looks deeper into the gut microbiome and these kind of things. It's just a deeper look. And if there are pathogens there, well, guess what? Those are stressful, too.
What kind of pathogens are you looking for usually?
Yeah, bacteria, parasites, funguses.
Okay.
There's lots of different species and varieties. But generally, bugs that have no business being in your body.
Yeah.
And by the way, you can look at the ones that are the friendly ones and make sure you got enough of them.
Right.
And what's the balance between your good and bad flora and things like that. So it's a deeper look into that that you wouldn't get from the zonulin and the histamine to DAO ratio. Yeah. So we know from the first test that it's very dysfunctional in there. But let's look. You see problems, you look deeper. We just run them all up front. So you look deeper. And the last test I think is critical is the food sensitivity testing, because everyone has some.
Yeah.
I've been using this test for 23 years, and no one has come back with zero sensitivities.
Right. And it can change over the course of your lifetime, too.
That's it can that. Change over the course of several months.
Yeah, that's true.
The gut, so you can have food sensitivities. There's different types, and you can just be born with them. You can acquire them. Typically, as the gut gets less and less functional, you're not digesting, you're not assimilating, you've got a dysbiosis and all these things going on, well, you'll get more and more sensitivities.
That's true, yeah.
And if you keep eating those foods, it slows down the healing.
Yeah.
So we're just going to, for a while, take these foods out so that you have a chance to heal. We'll retest, and you're going to have less sensitivities.
Right.
And they might even change a little bit, but you'll have less of them, and you'll be able to have a wider variety of foods. You know, we should actually eat, quite a wide variety of foods.
Yeah.
That helps keep the microbiome diverse at the same time. So all these things work together. Again, we're looking at, with those five labs, we're looking at HIDDEN, all of those things.
Yeah.
We actually throw in this metabolic typing test that tells us a lot about, believe it or not, the immune system or the energy production in the nervous system and how you can correct that a lot just with diet, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then we apply the principles of healing, which are found in our DRESS acronym. And I'd be happy to explain that one too.
Sure. So before we go on to that one, I'm just kind of going back through all this. It's interesting to me, you know, when we kind of started out, as I was saying, you know, talking about how stressed systems don't heal. And you know, when you start peering into each of these to get the information that you're getting from doing these, you know, and in some ways these are pretty simple tests. It's surprising that, you know, in our health system that we wouldn't actually look at this as the baseline of health, because and this is why I think we should you know, as you said as I'm not sure who wrote this in the Gap, the book that you're involved with, that there's conventional medicine, and it's very good for acute kind of conditions, which is, you know, that should really be its label, I think, in some respects.
Yeah.
You know, when we're in crisis, when we break an arm and our leg, when we need heavy intervention, that's you know what that part is. But what you and I tend to engage with, you know, day after day, is improving quality of life for individuals, and sometimes, you know, in that process, healing. You know, which means, you know, getting back to this stress systems aspect, it means kind of trying to find those things that are actually stressing our systems. Sometimes they are environmental. Sometimes they're, you know, outside of us, you know, as we're saying, relationship wise. And sometimes they are actually, you know, a parasite or a processing challenge or something. So this kind of gets into the DRESS acronym, right? Because what we're really talking about is, what are those things that can heal us?
Well, you know, again, my shtick is to identify those healing opportunities with lab work. But there's some you can figure it on your own quite easily. And when you talk about stress management, if you will, there's actually good stress. I was just on a sailing trip, and you know, when the wind's really blowing and the boat's heeling over, it's a bit frightening. That's a certain type of stress. It's actually good for you.
You need that energy in that moment.
Yeah, like my son, I have this picture of him. He just jumped out of an airplane with a parachute on, by himself. You know, he's a certified diver, skydiver. And one of his buddies takes a picture of him just sailing in the air. It's a beautiful picture. They're 2 miles or they're whatever they are. They're way up high, about 12,000 feet.
Yeah.
And you can see the curvature of the earth behind him.
Yeah.
And so that for him is a form of, we call it eustress, you know, eustress, not distress. So I look at that as really good stress. Like, that's good for you to get your blood flowing and do exciting things that are adventuresome. And so, but when his mom saw that picture, for her, it was very distressful. so the same picture means two different things. Yeah. Depends who's looking at it. You know,
true.
I mean, all the guys are like, oh shit, I want to do that.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right.
And all the women are like, God, my kid better never do that.
Yeah, of course.
So stress is a huge thing. Again, it's a great topic for many discussions. And I like what you said. You said, some of the stresses aren't healable, like, or they're very difficult to get away from. If someone's job is, you know, really sort of bringing them down, it takes a long time to change jobs, you know, change careers, is what you were, you know, and that, and relationships with, if it's with a spouse, that can be very difficult in long term. And you can, am I going to heal this? Or am I going to abandon?
Or with a parent, or even a close friend. I mean, you know, those kinds of things. And sometimes they're just transitions, you know, I think that is part of it. A lot of times where, you know, every relationship, every even our relationship with ourselves, we're going to go through different kinds of transitions and heal on some level, whatever that was causing your problem. But, you know, the ability to identify those kinds of things is the important thing. And I feel like that's kind of what you're doing, you know, going through the hidden protocol as far as like what might be going on at that physical level. And then this DRESS part of it is really kind of like the protocol for starting to work on it, which is diet, exercise, what do we got? Diet, rest, exercise, stress reduction, and supplementation. Because those are, in some ways, what we're trying to do is we're trying to bolster our body's natural healing ability, right?
Exactly. I mean, we're on total vibe here, man, because how much can you control in your life? You know, you can control what goes in your mouth, you know, so diet, because something totally within your scope. Don't buy crap and eat that. Buy good stuff and eat that instead. You know, we go through a whole litany of things. Like, there's no one diet that's right for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there are foods that are bad for everybody, you know, sugar and chemicals and all these things.
Fried foods.
No one that those are helpful for. Right. So you can really tune up your diet. That's D, and that's foundational, because I don't know of any epigenetic factor that has a bigger effect than diet. Yeah. Other than eating poison or breathing fumes, you know, depending on your job. So, but that comes under stress reduction. Yeah. So we got diet, and we teach everyone how to find and eat according to your genetic and metabolic type. So then there's rest. The R is rest. So I don't mean just sleep. Sleep's really important, but you can rest your spirit and your emotions. You can learn to meditate and just breathe and handle things more sympathetically or parasympathetically.
Yeah.
But invoke the parasympathetic. It works wonders, just breathing and things like that. So diet and rest, including sleep. The exercise goes without saying. You can't be healthy if you're not moving your body around.
Yeah.
And strengthening and stretching and working on your aerobic conditioning. I call it cardiopulmonary.
I do too. And one of the things I like to remind people of when it comes to just moving your body, because I think we've been sort of conditioned by like this, you know, the sort of started probably in the 80s of like the sort of fitness craze way of thinking about you know, of what being fit is. But really, like, moving your body in general helps to, you know, the body is a series of like hydraulic fluid systems, and we're really trying to pump the systems and move things through, and that's what helps kind of detox us, sends blood to all the right places, and that's really a big part of what, in, you know, oxygenated blood, that's really part of what keeps us healthy. And if you're sedentary for too long a period of time, those systems just become kind of weakened because we're not getting enough, you know, flow moving through all of them.
You're so right. And of course, I know that you know this, one of your biggest detoxifying organs, you got the liver and the kidneys and the skin and the colon, but your lymph system has no pump.
Yeah.
The pump is you. You're the pump. So the lymph is what helps detoxify the entire body.
Right.
And if you don't move, lymph doesn't flow.
Yeah.
So if for no other reason, you'd want to definitely move that around. That's a really good point, Jeremy. So it was diet and rest and exercise. The two S's are stress reduction and supplementation. We don't have to talk about that. I don't sell supplements. I don't have my own brand, but I know
it's funny. I was going to ask you this question because I've worked with a few people and I've had a few interviews with people with supplementation products, and most of them are actually pretty like, the fewest you have to take, the better. But of course, there are people who are in crisis where sometimes there's, you know, it could be helpful. Or when you, if you become really ill and your body's really depleted, there's probably, you know, need for certain kinds of things. But I think I find that also the supplementation craze It probably started in like the, you know, 70s through the 90s. I think people started trying to put everything in their body instead of doing all the other things that they might need to do to take care of themselves.
Yeah, exactly. So the first course I ever took in nutrition was a lot about supplements, and I was turned off, you know. And by the way, I tried to use that in the office. You remember the doctor, you could see my patients between visits. And if that involves selling supplements, you know, go for it. And so that's kind of what I felt like was a supplement salesman, like take this for that.
Right. Yeah.
And it didn't really work. People would take it for a while, and if it helped them, they'd say, "Oh, I'm cured."
Yeah.
You know, like it was as if it was a drug that cured. Yeah. And if it didn't work, they'd say, "Yeah, this shit doesn't work." You know, so no one would take it for more than 2 or 3 months. So I had to go much deeper into why do we supplement? You know, and I came up with the 4 S's of supplementation. I can give it to you really fast.
Sure.
First of all, substitution was missing from food. You know, food isn't very high quality, so it makes sense to substitute with, you know, some extra vitamins and minerals and essential fatty acids and antioxidants and all this stuff that's supposed to be in food that isn't in food anymore because it's been depleted from the soils and so on. So just substituting for what's missing from food is a good reason to take supplements. And you just mentioned, importantly, support for certain organs, something that needs a little more. Your digestion could need some support while you heal the system back to normal. Like it's broken down. Let's support digestion. Let's support your adrenal glands, you know, or some other organs. Also, stimulation is critical because you know, when I before I go get on an airplane, I stimulate my immune system. I want my immune system on heightened alert.
Yeah.
You know, which it's kind of hovers. Immune systems are there not to do much except hover and look for bad stuff.
Yeah.
Then they go into action. So you can increase sensitivity or state of alert, you know, by stimulating your immune system. And so the 4 S's are substitute what's missing from food, support systems that need it now, and then stimulate. And the last one would be self-treatment, where if you have a parasite and you don't want to take prescription medication, you could get rid of it with things people have been using for thousands of years to get rid of parasites.
Uh-huh.
And so self-treatment becomes one of the 4 S's. And on supplementation, again, I haven't created my own brand. People have asked me too many times, but, you know, I just train on it and let people go buy what they want. And the other S, of course, is the stress reduction, which is just a management thing. You can get rid of parasites, bacteria, funguses, viruses even. You know, you want to get rid of those. You can get rid of foods that you're sensitive to right out of your diet. Just test. Don't guess. Just say, hey, get rid of these things. And or you could do elimination diets, you know, cut out dairy and gluten and soy and corn and these common offenders.
Is that something you do with people sometimes when they come in and you feel like there's a lot of factors going on here? Let's clean out the situation and see what comes up just from, you know, I always think, you know, sometimes the process back to health is also some little mini experiments, you know. Within some safe realm, obviously you don't want to tax the system too much, but I feel like there's sometimes you need to kind of still continue to gather new information.
Well, you just hit on a key factor for people, and that is that we're all unique individuals.
Yeah.
And what worked for Charlie may not work for Joe.
Yeah.
And you know, Sheila doesn't do well at all. Matter of fact, there's only 3 things that can happen. You feel when you try something.
Yeah. Yeah.
You feel better, there's no change, or you can feel worse.
Yeah, yeah.
And when someone swears by it, you go, I hate that stuff, you know. So the trial and error, I that's the first thing I identified. I kind of came up with this phrase for all of our patients, some of the first ones I ever talked to. You're caught in a cycle of trial and error. You're going from one thing to the next, just praying and hoping that it's going to be the magic bullet, you know, whether it's a therapy or, you know, an exercise, a diet, or
sometimes too many cooks in the kitchen too, right?
Unbelievable. Everything. Again, they'd seen even 10 practitioners and nothing's worked.
Yeah.
So I had to come up with something better. It's why I systematized my, it took me 10 years. I had to just kind of experiment. I was just in a great spot to run all those labs and all those people.
Yeah.
They trusted me to at least be looking where no one else was looking.
Yeah.
And, but the food sensitivities and the parasites and bacteria and food, those are easy to identify and eliminate. I mean, there's no more guesswork needed for that. The diet's a little tougher, but sleep and exercise are not that hard to do. So all the lifestyle things we'd recommend to someone, when you put it into categories, they get it. Okay, eat right. Like, you know, you could just spend a month getting your diet dialed in. And first you need to do this little test we have.
Yeah.
Then you follow it. Now, everyone's got to adjust it a little bit. You can't just say, well, I'm a protein type. Because
right.
There's protein types that do well on 80% protein.
Right.
There's others that they need 90%.
Yeah.
And certain people, believe it or not, need 95% protein. They're protein type. They're very fast oxidizers. They need that very slow burning fuel. Otherwise, they burn their fuel up really quick, and they're hungry and craving and angry and all this stuff.
Yeah, that's a question I have for you. I know it was mentioned in the book, but how do you determine the oxidative rate ratio of fats, carbs, and proteins?
There's, believe it or not, there's an online questionnaire, and don't be fooled. Some questionnaires, they're not all as subjective as you think.
Right.
They can be very objective. It will ask you a lot of questions about your physiology, a lot of questions about your dietary traits and habits, and believe it or not, a lot of questions about your psychology and mental emotional state, personality traits, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a very thorough exam, and you can find it at mtdiet.com. MT stands for metabolic typing.
Okay.
Diet.com. It's cheap. You can go through that and get some training on it. We have every client go through that. And that's your base. That's your baseline. So you might find out you're a protein type or a mixed type or a carb type. But there's other dominances. You could be an autonomic type, and then you're either a sympathetic or a parasympathetic. So there's okay. different types. But just whatever the diet you get is, say it says, you're going to be 60% protein, and the other 40% is 20 fat, 20 carbs.
Right.
That's a protein type, but it's just sort of a moderate.
Yeah.
And what'll happen is it'll change the rate and quality and quantity of energy produced on the cellular level, because you burn fuel. That's your fuel. You're burning it. You're metabolizing it. You're also oxidizing it, if you want to use that term.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we get the fast and slow oxidizer from. But then you still have to dial it in. I don't know if you're old enough to remember car radios when you had to dial in the station.
I'm
like
in my
this.
50s.
So you dial it in. Now you would dial it to where it sounds good, and everyone does the same thing. You go past a little bit so that you know, oh no, I was on the right spot.
Yep.
So you're going to dial it in.
Yep.
And you can dial in your carb, fat, protein ratios kind of the same way. You need a starting point, which the test will give you. And then you dial it in and you go, hey, that breakfast I had, if you eat breakfast, a lot of people don't. And I don't even recommend it for every person. But you find out that your meal gave you a lot of energy. Yeah, my energy is really good.
Yeah.
And my sense of well-being is there. And I feel satiated. I'm not craving anything.
You don't crash.
Still, that's your criteria.
Yeah.
So then you go, I think I was craving a little bit of something. I'm going to up that percentage of protein, and you can dial it right in where the three criteria are: strong sense of solid energy to get you through the next meal, however much work or fun you want to have. You got enough energy to do it. The other thing is satiation. You're not craving. Nothing was missing. You just basically have no cravings. That's an amazing state for some people. They've never been in that state before. And the third one is actually a sense of well-being. You're supposed to be in a good mood. We're designed to be happy creatures. We really are designed to be happy. So if you're not, diet could play a really important role in that.
It's huge.
And when you dial in the energy, satiation, and sense of well-being with diet, that's you, now you've got it dialed in. And it will be the right combination of proteins, fats, and carbs. And obviously, we don't need to here go into the quality of that food. It's got to be really high quality and free of any excipients that would cause distress on your body, chemicals and food coloring and all this crap, you know, the results of processing, very bad for you. And yep. Sugar,
yeah,
you know, and hydrate. You kind of can dial in diet pretty easily when you know the system to use.
It's interesting, you know, to get down to this. This was kind of the reason that I started this podcast. I was actually sort of exploring the notion of health. Because I was doing some work in health tech actually at the time, and we were one of the things that came up was sort of studying people's belief systems around how they stay well or become well, and you know that opened a whole can of worms for me, you know, in terms of my brain just kind of exploded at that moment, because I started thinking about, because I at that point I had already been practicing for almost 20 years, and what I started realizing more and more was that, you know, people come in and they just want a symptom to go away, right? I mean, that's usually their first number one reason for seeking care. But then beyond that, and it's one of the things that I do a lot of times in my first session with people is I say, is there something that you'd like to be doing more of that you're not doing? Because I you know what I mean? I think everybody is getting to this place, you know, as they're going through an aging process, and it starts much younger for some people. I mean, I got in my field because I started having chronic back issues in my mid-20s. That's a tough place to be, but I'm in much better place because I learned so much at a young age too, you know.
Yes.
But that sense of what we're really looking for in terms of, you know, wellness or well-being or health or whatever you want to, you know, label it as, is this, you know, this what you're talking about is that we want to feel like we have the energy to do the things that we want to do and not be sort of hindered by our physical body, by our moods and all these things. And that's really what you and I think are kind of engaged in day to day.
Well, I love your expression can of worms, because the deeper you go, the more you realize you don't know. But yeah, I'm with you on that. And the experiences we've had are very similar, you know, just working with people, trying to help them, realizing that they're all different. They all have different environments. We're now using this term epigenome.
Yeah.
You know, the genome is very important. And you know, just after the turn of the century, they actually mapped out the entire human genome. We know every gene in the body now.
Right.
But no one, the world hasn't gotten healthier because of that information.
No,
because
not at
it's
all.
The epigenome. It's the signals that your genes get from your world, your environment, yeah, your everything that's going on with you, including the way you think.
Yeah.
That's part of your epigenome. So there's you, there's the epigenome. There's you, yeah, with all your genetics. You, yeah, can't change those. The reason I don't test them a lot is because I can't compare later and see, well, how did they change? You know, because they don't change. They will never change.
Right.
You can't change your genes.
Yeah.
So you can't do a before and after. Every test that we do, there's a before, and you can run an after and see, wow, hey, this is back in balance. Oh, this is improved. Oh, you have so many less food sensitivities now. Hey, your parasites and bacterial overgrowth is gone. You know, and your, yeah, gut improved function. Your digestion is working better. Your liver's improved. I don't know. Your catabolic, anabolic, the cortisol and DHA, they're back in balance.
Yeah.
Oh my God! So what you can track, what you can measure, you can work to improve. But you said it, man. It's a can of worms. So that's why you need someone who's well trained and able to help.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. I've encountered this a little bit. I don't know how much you see of this in your work, but so many people who have been given a label, you know, whatever it is, or a condition, or, you know, their diagnosis, you know, comes with a pretty heavy-handed terminology that they become very, yeah, attached to. And there's a part of that is, you know, they do want to heal this thing, but they also are so identified now with their condition that when they actually heal, it's sometimes, yeah, you know, when they're feeling better, they're still looking for solutions, or they're still, you know, they're still not satisfied in some way, because,
yeah,
either because they still think they are their label, or because now it's on to the next thing and I must have other problems.
Man, you're so right. I experienced the exact same thing when I started in the office again. You know what? The biggest thing back then was fibromyalgia.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody was coming in with,
I
had this problem. I've got the aches and pains. I'm overweight. I got brain fog, and I've got all these things going on. And thank God my doctor finally diagnosed me. It's fibromyalgia. Mm-hmm. So I've got this and that. You know, I take a couple supplements, and I take a medication for the pain, and I take my muscle relax, you know, all this stuff. And you know, these people, by the way, were pretty hard to put your hands on. You couldn't do deep body work. And so, you know, we had to find a different way. And man, I just ended up deciding what a waste can diagnosis. It's like garbage can. Like, you, I don't know if there's even, I guess there is such a thing as real fibromyalgia, but they're applying that diagnosis to anyone with similar symptoms.
Right.
You have the same cluster of symptoms. Well, it's fibromyalgia.
Yeah.
So what it really is just a cluster of symptoms.
Yeah. And once you do tests like you do, once you kind of, you know, once you get in and start learning more and more about, you know, what their makeup is and what their challenges are within their system, you realize that they may have, you know, we could, if we're going to use the clinical diagnosis terms, we could have like five different things with a Venn diagram where they're kind of overlapping in different ways, right? But that just tells us that if we only try to treat the symptom, we're not going to get anywhere, because there's probably some sort of a base underlying part of this that we're just not hitting, and a lot of it has to do with the DRESS, right?
You're right, and you're right about everything. You know, people have multiple causes and multiple symptoms. And here's the thing that no one considers, Jeremy, that took me a long time to figure out. Because remember, I'm not a physician. I can't diagnose or treat any one thing. It takes a license to do that.
Yeah.
And we could go off into that whole thing about licensed medicine and why you need one. But I had to look upstream. I had to look for underlying causes and conditions, because that's something I can do as a nutritionist, trainer, health coach, you know, non-licensed practitioner. If we could find out the, you know, I don't like the word root cause, but causal factors, then we could do something about it ourselves. It empowers the person to take control of their health back.
Yeah.
And that's what I noticed. If you've seen 10 people, You've given the control of your health over to them. Why? We need to be in control.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head with the empowering part. I mean, that is what I keep seeing missing. I mean, I feel like obviously when they first come to see us, they're in a pretty low place most of the time. So a little hand holding, you know, during that time period. But it's for me anyways, it's immediately about like, let's start giving you some tools. You know, let's start figuring out things that you can start doing on your own, which is why I liked, you know, what I saw about your work.
Well, amen. So here's what I kind of figured out about this causal factors. There's always a bunch of them.
Yeah.
So, and guess what? They're having an effect upon each other. And a lot of that's not measurable.
Yeah.
So if you just picture one of my presentations I do, there's like someone just took, let's say, 5 or 8 little stones and threw them into a little clear pond, you'd see all these little rings. And those rings would go out and intersect and cause ripples and things. So now you got the whole surface of the water. It starts off with just 5 little, we call these causal factors.
Right.
But then they're having, you know, pretty soon the whole water becomes
all metaphor. Just bunch of,
but so it, and when you see it in the picture, you go, wow, that's right. So you've got, you know, your mom abandoned you when you were 8, mental, emotional stress. You fell off your bike when you were 10, and you never really healed your shoulder. You're eating a bunch of crap every day.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're being exposed to electromagnetic frequencies and garbage on television, and God knows what you're learning at school anymore, and on and on. So you've got all these causal factors. Your epigenome is full of stressors, multiples there, and they all start having this effect on each other. Like one, if you're under a lot of stress, your cortisol to DHA ratio changes. Well, that lowers your immune system.
Right.
Then you end up with a dysbiosis. Well, then you get bigger bugs come along. Yeah. Well, now you've got leaky gut, and now you've got antigens and immune complex flowing into the liver, giving you detoxification problems. Next thing you know, you've got an autoimmune condition, and you've been told that you've got fibromyalgia.
Right.
And here's your pill.
Right.
You know, and so we just don't look at things that way. We open up the can of worms and sort the worms out.
Well, and you know, the interesting thing is, because I'm not an MD either, but I've somehow managed to build a lot of good relationships with them, and I find a lot of times they're frustrated with with the systemic approach to things, because they're limited by what their tablet that they use every day, you know, the boxes that have to be checked on their iPads that they use at the hospital now to like move, you know, a patient from one thing to the next, and they're not really able to get to these causal factors or even have any sort of, you know, way of even thinking about testing for most of these things. It's just not in the system. So while, you know, technology is at its all-time high, we're not really using it to our best advantage, and it's showing in the outcomes, I think.
You're right. They're handcuffed.
They are.
Their licensure and their boards and the payment system
especially.
I mean, it's their financial model is as screwed up as anything else that's going on in the medical profession.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of hard to convert that. Again, these doctors come out of medical school wanting to do good work and intend to help people. And they've got huge debt from school. They've got now, but they don't have an office yet, so they got to rent an office. Then they have to buy or lease equipment. Then they have to hire staff. They still don't have any customers yet.
Yeah.
So they're starting off under a tremendous amount of stress, and they sign contracts with insurance companies, start throwing patients with everything from snotty noses to, you know, aches and whatever it is at them, and they have to get them processed really quickly.
Right.
And their only real job is to get relief care. You mentioned, you know, why do people come? Well, they go in for relief.
Right.
They just want to be out of pain or whatever it is. And so doctors got really freaking good at that.
Yeah.
Man, there's a pill for everything. And it will take your symptoms away for the most part. Right. That's not necessarily a bad thing.
Right.
But it does zero to correct the problem.
Right. Long term.
Matter of fact, the problem will likely get worse.
Yeah.
And you'll need stronger pills.
Yeah.
And then they'll just take the parts out. Well, you don't need your gallbladder. You don't need your ovaries. I know.
Yeah. I deal with it all the time.
Yeah.
So for anybody who's interested, I want to get a little of your information out there too. So the name of the book that you're involved with is called. Can you give me the full name of it?
There's a couple of them, but
I
think you're referring to The Gap by Pantea Keldor. So I'm one of the writers.
Okay.
Yeah, so I contributed a chapter.
That's right.
I'm Ray Davis. I did a chapter in the book, The Gap. It's available wherever.
Yeah.
I'm not involved in selling the book or anything like that.
Right.
But it was fun to contribute a chapter.
Yeah.
Pantea is a wonderful person. She's actually a graduate from my training program too, and I'm really proud of her. But if people, we have a short link that we made for your listeners. It's FDNtraining.
Yep.
.com/highwaytohealth.
Yeah, and I'll put a link on the show notes if anyone's interested.
Yeah, put a link in there for that, because FDN is functional diagnostic nutrition. That's what I'm known for. It's just a system of investigation into health problems and then natural protocols to get out of those problems.
Yeah,
and we teach a business model too, and how to be a health entrepreneur, how to be a health coach practitioner.
Okay.
And it's really quite a robust program. We'd love to get some of your listeners to poke around there. And if they go to fdntraining.com/highwaytohealth, they'll land there.
Okay, cool. Thanks for that. And I appreciate you guys putting a link up for that too. And so if anyone's working with you, I'm just curious, I'm not sure if HIPAA has any sort of relationship to how you can deal with people worldwide because
we're
listeners.
Not subject to HIPAA because we're not diagnosing and treating anything.
Okay.
And at the same time, ethics play a very important role in our in our world, you know, and everything we do serves the person we're working for. So we're private entrepreneurs. You hire me in a fee for service to help you with your health problem. Yeah. Kind of like going to a lawyer, you say, hey, I got this and this problem. And they say, give me a retainer and I'll work on your case. So yeah. People pay us retainers for 90 days or 6 months. And we run the labs, give them the protocols, and we coach them up for whatever that time period is. And that's what our – so we get paid on a fee for service.
Okay.
And it's a great way to make a living.
Yeah, I like
you're
that a lot.
People. Yeah, and you're helping people. And earning a living doing it, I mean, that's what motivated me 23 years ago or
yeah.
more.
Yeah. Cool, man. Well, I appreciate your time. It was fun to chat with you. Let's stay connected.
You're a great guy to chat with. I hope we do it again, Jeremy. And, you know, I have a podcast too. Maybe we'll get you on ours.
That sounds great. Love to.
Yeah. All right, man. Cool. Thank you very much for having me on
your
show.
All right. Thanks so much. That was awesome, man. I loved it. We hit a lot.
Okay, you want to stop your recording?
Yeah, I'll do the editing after.
Oh, you do the editing later. Yeah. Okay, man. Well, cool. Yeah, we're tickled. Where are you located, Jeremy?
I'm in Minneapolis. I had a practice in New York for 13 years, and I still go back and treat about 5 times a year. I'm still there about 50 days a year.
Boy.
So I'm a busy guy right now.
But you like Minnesota.
Well, I it was funny. I grew up here. I had no real intention of moving back to Minneapolis, but my wife, who's not from here, got a job offer in Minneapolis after she went back to school and got her MBA. So it's actually turned out to be great. My son just started college last year, so we're kind of getting along. We have one more at home still, and then who knows? We might end up, you know, moving around a little bit again.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I raised 4 kids. My oldest is 40.
Is that right?
Yeah, and the rest are all just finished college. Last one just finished college last year.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all doing good.
That's great. I'm curious. Are you guys involved in doing any other kinds of like events or lectures or anything else? I'm starting to think about trying to get into doing a little bit more, just because of the audience that I have through the podcast and a lot of the connections that I've made. People like you, who I just feel like. I totally get your work, and that's really who I'm kind of trying to find for the podcast for the most part in general. So also, if you ever know of anybody that you're like, oh, this would be a great, you know, person to share info, I'd love to connect.
Well, I'm going to put you in touch with Jennifer Woodward, who is our alumni director. We have a very strong alumni. I have 600 members. I mean, I've trained many, many more, but these are professional core group that actually, it's a paid membership. So we're delivering them a lot of services.
Oh, cool.
And continuing education. And one thing we do is we bring on smart people like you who've made it in the health world, and just to show them, hey, this is what's possible.
Yeah.
A lot of them are neophytes in the health entrepreneur space. So
I do a lot of this talking. Yeah.
Hey, just come on. You say, yeah, I started out pretty much with nothing, and I worked my ass off, you know, and I kind of went my own way, and yeah. here's where I landed. Yeah. And they just get inspired from it. So you just even if you just come on and inspire some folks, it'd be a good thing.
That's what I get brought in for that a lot. I do some college, you know, lectures with like more places that are doing chiropractic and massage and functional medicine work, because it's hard, you know. There's not a great landing pad once you're out of school for anyone to make a living at a lot of these things. You know, you have great education, but I mean, and I'm very lucky that I had some entrepreneurs in my family. So, I only worked for someone for about 3 months, and I was starting my own business. So 25 years.
Yeah, I always, you know, you walk in like you own the place, and pretty soon you do. Yeah,
that's right.
I'm kind of teasing, but the other opportunity is, there's two real quickly. If you have a product that you want to introduce at that time, you know, some kind of call to action, then we'd be, you know, you're allowed to do that.
Okay.
If you have an affiliate program, we'll sign up for it. So we get a little dip our beak in the in the water, so to speak, if you get any business from my tribe. By the same token, like I just, you're going to use this custom URL. If we get some hits, my team will tell me.
Okay.
You know, Kay Marie, she's good. On top of it. She'll say, hey, we got a lot of interest when Jeremy actually published, you know, aired the podcast. So if we get some, then we'd say, hey, Jeremy, your group seems to like us, and we're getting inquiries, we're getting questions. So then what we do is say, well, you become an affiliate. You know, you sign up for affiliate program.
Okay.
Now you have a link that's like if they ever purchase anything from us, you get paid.
Okay.
So that's your next step is to become an affiliate. Okay. And if we like cross referrals, cross affiliate relationships. I don't have to. I mean, people come on my stuff and they don't have to pay me or anything. But if they have a unique and profitable call to action, then you know we feel like that's kind of how one hand washes the other.
Yeah.
I mean, you can make $1,000 off every one of your listeners that signs up for my course.
Okay. Cool. I mean, I'm not selling a whole lot right now, but I am kind of slowly working on building this resource around what I'm doing with the podcast. And, you know, I think the affiliate part is what I have to, you know, push into a little bit more. I've been doing this for 5 years, but I'm so busy in my practice that, you know, I haven't been able to put as much into the business. Yeah. So
your next thing would be to create a training program.
Yeah.
And sell that.
Yeah.
You know, okay.
That makes sense.
Well, we'll stay in touch, Jeremy. Thank you, man.
Thanks, Reed. I appreciate it. Reed Davis, folks. Having worked closely with this kind of diagnostic testing throughout my career, I think it should be more of a standard of care. Unfortunately, it's still not covered under most insurance plans. Testing pricing has become more affordable, however, in recent years, and the testing is usually covered by HSA, so if that's something that you're able to fund pre-tax through your insurance plan, I would take advantage of that. And as mentioned at the end of our conversation, you can learn more about the functional diagnostics Reed's company offers by going to fdntraining.com/Highwood Health. There's a lot to explore on the site, whether you're looking to get help in healing or whether you're in a healing career and looking to support others that you are caring for. And there will be a link in the show notes here as well. And I have one quick favor to ask before I sign off. If you love the resource you get here at Highwood Health, could you take a moment and rate us and leave a short review? It really helps others find us and the resource they're looking for. I really appreciate it. And let me know what you thought of this topic and conversation. Reach out to me anytime by email, jeremy@highway2.health. Thanks for listening and for all that you do. Be good to yourself, be kind to each other, and take care of your planet. Be well, my friends.